Let's go to D.C. now and bring in David Mark, who's a senior editor for Politico, and talk a little bit about not only the inauguration, but what to expect from Obama after that. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Are you staying in town? Will you be part of the coverage on Politico on Tuesday?
Oh, yes. We're all working. We're trying to figure out how we're going to get into the office ourselves, those of us who live a little distance from the Virginia offices. It's, as you say, most of the roads are closed around D.C., and public transportation is going to be a mess. So we're still trying to figure that one out.
How many people are they expecting there on the Mall to be witness to Obama becoming president?
Well, estimates vary, but realistically, it could be 2 million or so, maybe possibly more. That's about four times the population of Washington, D.C. So it's going to be heavy. Now, I've been to the last two inaugurations with President Bush, which obviously didn't have this kind of excitement. They were big, but it was manageable to get around the city. We'll see how it goes this time. It could be a lot tougher.
I'm guessing if you don't have a restaurant reservation by now, you pretty much aren't going to eat.
It's going to be pretty tough to move around. And the problem is going to be the cold as well. It's one thing if it's even 40 degree temperatures, but when it's bitter cold, it's really hard. People get very cranky standing out in the cold for 3 or 4 hours like that, if not more.
Yeah, they do. And those people along the parade route, along Pennsylvania Avenue, my brother actually is taking his wife and his two kids to go see this historic thing, and they managed to get themselves seats in the bleachers somewhere along Pennsylvania Avenue, and he says they're going to have to get there before the day even begins for most other people and just sit there and sit there and sit there.
Absolutely. It's just part of the deal. You essentially camp out at whatever spot you're going to be watching the events from. It's the trade-off for getting to see a piece of history that is going to be replayed endlessly in the coming years and decades.
It's the Big 89 WLS. Paul Harris talking with David Mark from Politico.com about the Obama inaugural on Tuesday. And let's talk about what we can expect in the days immediately after that. His cabinet picks will pretty much be sworn in within days. The Senate will give him almost immediate approval, right?
It's looking that way. There doesn't seem to be any real holdups for his cabinet appointments. There is some Republican opposition now to his labor secretary designee, and the attorney general designee is getting roughed up a bit, but I think they will probably both go through when all is said and done.
Did the Tim Geithner thing and the Bill Richardson thing, did that reflect poorly on the Obama transition people in that they really didn't do as good a job as of vetting these people as they had done with pretty much everything else during the election?
No, I actually don't put the blame on the Obama people. In the case of Bill Richardson, it seems that he was not exactly upfront about some of this information. And the thing about these background checks is you never really know what's in somebody's background until you get the FBI digging around and really asking some tough questions, talking to business associates, neighbors, that sort of thing. So you can press these people, but at the end of the day, you don't have subpoena power or any law enforcement power. So you kind of just have to take them at their word. In terms of Timothy Geithner, the Obama team knew what the deal was, what the problems were, and they said that it wasn't such a big problem. So they were willing to go forward with it. They made a calculated risk there that will probably pay off for them.
And you mentioned the Attorney General designate, Eric Holder, getting roughed up a little bit. He has, in the last day or two, stood up and talked more about waterboarding as torture. That's not what the Democrats are banging him around about, and the Republicans seem to be fairly quiet on that subject as well. So what's the problem?
Well, it really goes back to Mr. Holder's actions during the Clinton administration when he was Deputy Attorney General, the second in charge, second in command at the Justice Department, where he signed off on the pardon of Mark Rich, the fugitive, some Puerto Rican terrorists that he wanted to grant clemency for. And these are debatable points, but I don't think they're enough to kill off the nomination. It's interesting, though, one thing you're hearing even from some Republicans is even if Mr. Holder gave bad advice in the Mark Rich case, ultimately it was President Clinton who signed the pardon, and he bears the responsibility for it.
We keep hearing from the Obama camp that he is going to work across party lines. Of course, that's exactly what we heard from the Bush camp 8 years ago, that, oh, we're going to work across party lines because we need unity in Washington and on and on and on. You've been there long enough. Is such a thing possible in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, in this day and age, it's probably not. You can be civil to each other. You don't have to yell and scream. It does seem, at least in the short time, like Obama's made some improvements in that area where they're not sniping at each other. But the parties have become so polarized, and the activist bases in both parties just would not allow their members to vote for with the other side. The Republicans simply cannot vote for a tax increase because they're going to get booted out of office in a primary the next time around. So I think it's going to be a lot tougher than he's suggesting.
Is it easier for him, though, because of the 58 or 59 Democratic votes he's going to have in the Senate, almost filibuster-proof?
Oh, without a doubt. It will allow him much more leeway to push these measures through. And it's also worth noting Republicans may vote against these, but they may not fight it tooth and nail the way that they have with other Democratic administrations. So I think Obama probably will get somewhat of a honeymoon here because the country's in dire straits right now. People wish him well.
I want to get back to the inaugural for just a second. There's been some controversy about Obama's pick of Rick Warren, the California evangelist, to be the guy who gives the invocation at the inaugural. And then earlier this week, it seemed like he tried to appease some of his critics, the president-elect did, by choosing this woman who's by choosing a couple of people who fall, I think you could say easily, at the more liberal side of the religious scale to do invocations at other inaugural events. Is that politics or is this Obama? Or both?
It's all of the above. I think he's clearly a pretty shrewd politician. The Rick Warren pick, a very conservative California pastor, was meant to reach out to religious people and say, hey, we're not scared of people with opposing viewpoints. I think that's what Obama was really trying to get across in that point, was just to say, hey, it's that we can disagree on issues, but it doesn't mean we have to demonize the other side, and we should all expose ourselves to the ideas we disagree with. That upset a lot of liberals, but I think that's actually a pretty smart political move because it makes him look a lot more centrist. And it's not policy. He's not really giving anything away. It's just utterly symbolic.
And then, of course, this week he gives a similar job to an openly gay Episcopal bishop, the first openly gay Episcopal bishop, in essence telling people, look, there are going to be all sorts of people who are going to be upset with what I do. No one's going to like everything that I do here. I'm just going to try to move forward and please people when I can, but no one's going to be, and I'm never going to make everybody happy, right?
Well, that's right, and it was interesting. One of his spokesmen this week said that soon-to-be President Obama, would lift the gays in the military ban, which 16 years ago, sometime back, that would have been a huge uproar. Now it kind of just came and went, and public opinion has shifted on it. So I think what he's really saying to people is, okay, maybe I'm inviting these more conservative pastors to deliver the invocation, but my policies you will be very happy with.
It's the Big 89 WLS. Paul Harris talking with David Marks, senior editor for Politico.com, about the Obama inaugural and transition to come. The speech that he gives on Tuesday will be, I think, one of the most highly anticipated inaugural addresses in a long time. Here's a guy who is so well known for his oratory that every time he gave a speech during the campaign, it pretty much blew up YouTube for 24 to 36 hours. How high is the bar for the inaugural address he's going to give on the west front of the Capitol on Tuesday?
It's pretty darn high. The expectations have been reached such record levels that he's going to have to deliver. I think even his daughter said so. He joked about that a couple days ago. He's got to be careful, though, about not getting too specific. He's probably not going to go into the details of his stimulus plan to say, I want this tax cut or this spending difference, whatever it might be, but give broad thematics, kind of like he did in his keynote speech at the Democratic Convention that launched his career in 2004. So I would expect a broad sweeping view of his presidency rather than a lot of specifics.
And a lot of uplifting, hopeful talk.
Yes, but also tempered by the realities of the time. I think he's become very aware of the high expectations for him, and he wants to be careful to tamp that down a bit and to say, hey, this is going to take some time. I'm not going to have any magic solutions for you overnight.
You know, I was just talking to a friend the other day about how Obama's been saying that a lot lately about, hey, look, things are going to get worse before they get better. And that's the expectations game, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And he'd be silly not to. If you just look around what's happening in the economy, we saw a big jump in unemployment for December. It's probably going to get a lot worse. In January, Circuit City is closing, 30,000 jobs going away. So there's just no, you'd be putting your head in the sand to say that things aren't going to get worse before they get better.
What else besides working on the economy can we see as priorities in the first month or so of the Obama administration?
Well, I think we're going to see foreign affairs be a pretty big issue with him. Hillary Clinton, the soon-to-be Secretary of State, will probably take a foreign tour pretty quickly to mend some alliances with Europe and other places. I'm sure there could be some active diplomacy in the Gaza Strip situation in the Middle East. So I would say foreign affairs are going to be a pretty big issue, more so than he's ever talked about.
How quickly does he talk about getting our troops out of Iraq?
I think he's going to stay focused on that. He's kind of suddenly shifted his rhetoric. It's been pretty smart. During the campaign, he said repeatedly that he would focus on withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq within 16 months. Now he's suggesting that he'll probably stick to the timetable agreed to by the Bush administration, the Status of Forces Agreement, to get troops out by 2011. So it's going to be a focus, but he's probably going to upset some liberals in his political base because it won't be quick enough for them.
Oh, and nothing, unless they were out by January 21st, that wouldn't be quick enough for some people.
Unless he just went over there himself and started marching them out.
And you mentioned a moment ago about how he's going to be talking about perhaps lifting the ban on gays in the military. That was one of the first things that the Clinton administration talked about and tried to get done, and it kind of cut their legs out from under them. Why would Obama say, I'm going to work on that right at the beginning?
I was very surprised that they went out and said that so early. I don't know that it will be their top priority, number one, but they said they were going to do it pretty expeditiously. Part of it is the times are different where back then it was a recession, but not so severe as we're facing right now. These are really hard times. Also, public opinion has shifted over the last 16 years or so. More people have become accepted of gays in the military. So I think he just feels like he has the political power to do it, although I don't think he's going to get into it on January 21st.
I heard a newscaster this morning say that Obama's priorities are fixing the economy and peace in the Middle East, to which I would then add, why don't you just go bang your head against the wall? That whole notion of peace in the Middle East.
Tall orders, but he's got to look like he's doing something. Expectations have been set so high that I think with all this, he wants to look like he's doing something no matter what the actual outcome of it is. He just has to look active, like he's trying to make a difference.
Now, the last thing I got to ask you about here is Pelosi and Reid as leaders of a Democratic Congress under a Democratic president. Will they be looking in their rearview mirror and having hearings about things done under the Bush administration?
I really don't think so. As much as the activist base would like them to, they realize they've got to focus on the economy, that the vast majority of people are not focused about these issues of the past. Those are essentially niche issues for the far left. Also, I don't think Barack Obama really wants to set that precedent where he and future presidents get examined, where you start going back and perhaps prosecuting presidents and their administrations for actions taken while in office. That would just set a precedent that no matter what party, I don't think a lot of presidents or lawmakers on Capitol Hill really want to live with. So I suspect they'll kind of let it die out quietly.
And I don't think most Americans want that. I mean, the number one thing people want from their government right now is, put me back to work.
Absolutely. These issues, these alleged torture issues, rendition, all that, the fight, the tactics used in the war on terror, do not concern the vast majority of people. People, as you say, people want a job. Of course, they're concerned about their own security, but they're not going to worry about events 5 or 6 years in the past.
David Marks, senior editor for Politico. Thanks so much for getting up early and spending some time with me this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 89, the Weekend WLS.